Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You know, ordinarily we start this show loud and with a bunch of energy and all excited because it's Monday and it's the first day of the week and we're all ready to have a great week and hang out. But I can't bring myself to do it today. To those of you, hopefully there's not too many of, well, let me phrase that. That sounds terrible. Hopefully there's a lot of you who are listening for the first time, joining the millions and millions who listen to the show every single day. I apologize to you above all, because ordinarily I come in here screaming and hooting and hollering and getting the energy through the roof. And this show is all about getting you through your lunch break, right? I understand the importance of sports talk radio during the lunch break hour. Most of you have, 15 to 45 minutes on average to spend with us. And I want you to have something that makes you excited to get through your lunch break. But today I'm very blah. We'll get into all of that here in just a minute, give you the reason why. I'm sure that if you are in any way, shape, or form a fan of college football, you already know the answer to that. We'll talk about that just a second from now. But before we get there, Diesel, do you care to bring the energy with our show opening here?
Lockdown.
Yeah. That's
lockdown!
Well, there you go. That's what it honestly, that's what it feels like. I mean, I don't know, Diesel. It's kind of one of those things. My entire career, I've always said, regardless of the day that you are having personally, you have a responsibility to get on the radio, to get on the air, to get on the show, and to act as if everything in the world is great, because there might be somebody out there having a worse day than you are, and they need the pick-me-up. They need the lift. They need the boost. They need the bump, or whatever you want to call it. But today is kind of different, right? This isn't my girlfriend left me last night, or I got a hangover, or I lost my other job. This is none of that. The thing that sucks today is something that impacts every single person listening to this radio station right now, Diesel. And it's just, it's difficult to come in here and go, hey, everybody, we're going to have a great day. Because the reality is, if you're a college football fan, today's probably not going to be a great day, and it's probably not going to be a great week for most of us.
No, it's not. We all kind of saw this coming. But the good news is, you finally get to say, I told you so, to all the people that, refuse to wear masks because we in the media clearly want college football canceled to prove a point.
Listen, I don't want to say I told you so. And I don't want to sit here and gloat, because this sucks. Not a little. This sucks a lot. Back in May, June, the word came out that, look, here's what we got to do if we want to make this thing go away, or at least limit it enough where we can play football. And we all told you at the time, hey, look, here's the deal. Put on your mask, social distance, we'll get football. Don't do those things, and we won't. It's up to you. And Now we found out yesterday, and this is where I will do, I'm going to do only one item on the lunch breakdown today, because unfortunately, there's only one item that matters. We have found out now that there have been multiple meetings and will continue to be meetings amongst the top power brokers in college football. That includes college conference commissioners, athletic directors from around the Power Five conferences. They are talking today. They talked over the weekend, and they will talk for the next couple of days about the potential of postponing, read, canceling college football in the fall of the year 2020 amidst the coronavirus pandemic. It didn't have to be this way. We could have been probably not in the clear, but certainly closer. But we're not. And here we are. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of this conversation. Frame it. Here's a couple of quotes from ESPN's Heather Dinich. Heather, of course, is one of the go-to reporters in all of college football. She says that there is some level of hope still in the discussion, but it's minimal. Here's what Heather Dinich had to say.
I am told no decisions were made tonight in the conference commissioners meeting, and the Big Ten president also met tonight. I was told that there was not a vote. My understanding is from multiple sources throughout various conferences that there is a hope that there can be a collaboration amongst the Power Five if their respective presidents do decide this week to cancel or postpone fall sports, that the five major conferences can figure out a way to announce this together so that no one does have to be the first or the last.
So Heather starts with no decisions have been made, but then instantly goes into the discussion about how they want to announce that college football is being postponed under the guise of nobody wants to be the first conference to announce they're postponing, and nobody wants to be the last. Nobody wants to be the group that has to break the news, but of course nobody wants to be the group that is last out of the gate in making that announcement, I suspect, because of the optics of the situation. This all sucks. Why are we here? How did we get here? Here's what Heather Dinich had to say about the combination of factors that have pushed us towards this decision.
It was a combination of factors. I mean, you have the MAC decision. That was extremely important because it was the first FBS conference to postpone fall sports. But there's also been a lot of outspoken players from the Pac-12, from the Big Ten, from the Mountain West Conference, who have spoken up about concerns about playing during COVID-19. But I think a real big driving force in the quick turn of conversation has been a significant concern from the medical advisory committees from each of these conferences about the unknowns of the lasting impacts of heart effects from the coronavirus.
Yeah. Look, I suspect that there is an element of truth to that. We have seen over the past week or so a few players come out, including, and I'll have to look up. I've got this somewhere in my prep, but I'm so just meh right now that I don't even want to look at my show prep because it's just doom and gloom top to bottom. But a couple of college football players who have come out and said that after getting COVID, they have had more long-lasting health impact, including one player who said that there are complications to his heart that may threaten his ability to compete moving forward at all. And I think with all of that information breaking, I think with these newest developments, they have moved that direction. But that wasn't new information, right? There's two things happening right now that I think lead us to where we sit. The first is the fact that while none of this is new information, right? We've known for a while now that while it may not be a huge number, that some percentage of people who are afflicted with COVID-19 would have impacts that last beyond the initial infection period, that loss of smell, headaches, coughing, shortness of breath, etc. And we knew that there was a possibility that some of them could face difficulties with their heart moving forward. But what we have right now, I think, is an illustration of what I call the Ray Rice phenomenon, right? The Ray Rice phenomenon is that all of us tend, and I think this is for the most part, relatively universal. All of us tend to underestimate the impact of a negative situation until we have to see it, until it strikes us directly, until it is either shown to us in our own eyeballs or until it impacts us directly. I've got a guy back home in Fort Walton Beach that I've known for many, many years. Of course, Fort Walton Beach right next to Destin, that's my hometown. That's where I grew up for 31-ish years. I got a dude who on Facebook was very much an anti-masker, was talking about how the numbers were inflated and all this. Well, about 2 weeks ago, he got COVID-19, and it knocked him on his ass. It made what happened to Diesel look mild by comparison, okay? He was in the hospital, did not end up in the ICU, but was in the hospital. It knocked him flat out. It has now been 2 weeks since he has been cleared of the virus. He has still not been able to get back to work because he just does not have his body, his sea legs back under him. And all of a sudden, he is one of the biggest please wear your mask and please be careful people out there in my entire social media online community. The Ray Rice phenomenon is exactly what happened with Ray Rice. Everybody heard he got labeled with domestic abuse. Everybody went, oh, it's terrible. Suspend him 4, 5, 6 games. And it is what it is. And then that video came out of him absolutely rocking that young lady, knocking her literally out of her shoes and dragging her out of an elevator and down a hallway. And then all of a sudden, everybody wanted Ray Rice's head on a platter, right? The Ray Rice phenomenon. Once it impacts you directly, once it has an immediate impact on you, then it can change you. It can change the way you feel about something. I think that's what happened with college football. They have now had a couple of athletes that have had it, that have had a major problem, that are having health complications that may impact their ability to play football at all moving forward. And now they're going, oh, crap, guys. This is impacting us in a really bad way. In a really bad way. The second thing that I think is going on right here, and this is to me the biggest part of this conversation, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment. What's the big difference in the world of college football now versus a week and a half ago, a week ago? When we had college, I mean, the Big Ten put out their schedule, including dates and times of games, a week ago. What's the one thing that has changed from a week ago until right now? The players speaking up. The players organizing. The players uniting. The players creating a de facto players union. And the players making demands of and demanding accountability from the adults in the room. And I'm air quoting that so hard I'm going to strain a finger. The adults in the room. There has been no centralized voice of power in college football. You have a lot of conference commissioners and a lot of athletic directors who are working not hand in hand. They're working like socially distanced from each other, trying to make decisions. And considering there is not even close to a consensus about it, the college football players decided, well, if you guys won't become a centralized voice, get together and come up with something, then we will. So the players in the Pac-12 created a unity group. The players in the Big Ten created a unity group. Now players in other conferences are creating unity groups. You've got players around the country who are now starting to unite and discuss amongst each other the things that they need to happen in order to feel comfortable playing college football in the midst of a pandemic. And then all of a sudden, the Power Five conference commissioners go, maybe we don't play. Maybe we shouldn't play. Maybe we should take a year off. The only thing that changed is that the athletic directors, that the conference commissioners have now looked around and said, uh-oh, they have a voice, they're being heard, and they are going to put our lack of leadership, our lack of direction, our lack of concern, and our drive for profit above all, they are going to turn that into the center talking point of this, and we don't have an answer for it.
So I was watching a little bit
that's
of...
That's going to make us look bad.
I was watching a little bit of a Get Up this morning, and they had Heather Dinich on, and they asked her what she's heard directly from Mark Emmert and directly from the NCAA. She said she reached out to Mark Emmert and said, why are we not seeing any centralized decision-making on this? And Mark Emmert said, because there can't be a czar of college football. Because there can't be a person who makes a decision for all of college football. Why not? Why not, Mark Emmert? Why can't there be? This guy's watching his power slip away from him, and he's doing nothing to hold on to it.
Bingo. Thiesel with the money ball. That is exactly accurate. Exactly accurate. With the exception of Mark Emmert watching his power slip away. Mark Emmert doesn't have any power to watch slip away, right? But he is watching Diesel. I would use a different word there. His credibility slip sure. away. I'd say the credibility of the NCAA is under fire. And how freaking hilarious that it is under fire by the players, not the fans, not the conferences, not the coaches. The players. The players have taken aim at the NCAA and said, look, this is a joke. And it is. And now it's being proven to be. Let's take a real quick break. We come back, we'll pick up this discussion at 1240. Dave Schultz from WNSP Radio. He's in Mobile, Alabama, the heart of Southeastern Conference territory. We'll talk with Dave to find out what he's heard and what he thinks about the most recent developments. But when we come back, the players put out a statement yesterday about wanting to play. We are going to address that statement when we come back here in just a minute. My name is Rob Brown. My man Diesel is my co-host and producer back in the network studio. Stick around, don't go anywhere. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob Brown and Diesel with you on a Monday afternoon, 12:26 in the afternoon. Dave Schultz of WNSP out of Mobile, Alabama will be joining us in the next segment to talk a little bit of college football. But before we get there, the college football players put out a statement yesterday. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback at Clemson, was one of the players who tweeted out this statement. Now, the statement came on a graphic created for social media. It is a black graphic with white font across the top. It has the logos of the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the SEC, and the Big 12. Underneath that, it has two hashtags. Hashtag, we are united, and then hashtag, we want to play. And then finally, it includes these talking points. Number one, we all want to play football this season. Number two, establish universal mandated health and safety procedures and protocols to protect college athletes against COVID-19 among all conferences throughout the NCAA. Number three, Give players the opportunity to opt out and respect their decision. Number four, guarantee eligibility whether a player chooses to play the season or not. Number five, use our voices to establish open communication and trust between players and officials. Ultimately, create a College Football Players Association. And number six, representative of the players of all five conferences. First and foremost, yesterday afternoon, the players held a Zoom meeting. On that call were a number of well-known top-tier college football players. There were a group of them on that call yesterday afternoon. Trevor Lawrence was, of course, one of them. They also had members of the University of Alabama and others. And look, when it comes down to it, I hate to tell y'all this, but the college football players' leadership has more organization and, well, leadership than the college football administration does, than the NCAA does as a whole. So the players came together in a call, and they have said since then, hey, look, we don't necessarily represent every player. The players who don't want to be represented by this group are not going to be mandated to be represented by this group, but they've got A, pretty big numbers, and B, quite a bit of star power behind them in this unity group that they have created with players from all five Power Five conferences involved in it. Every conference has players who join in on this discussion. So, frankly, the players appear to have done and are doing more than the NCAA is to try to move this conversation forward. But as soon as that player group was found out, as soon as that Zoom call went public, on the spot, the P5 leadership went, we need to talk, guys. Maybe we don't play football. And that's embarrassing to me. It is embarrassing to me. And Diesel, I want you to chime in on this. It is embarrassing to me that the pandemic wasn't enough. The lack of universal leadership wasn't enough. What was enough to get the powers that be in college football to blow the whistle and call timeout on the 2020 season, at least from my vantage point, Diesel, was the players saying, yeah, this isn't good enough for us.
Yeah, the players have actual power. They have actual control now. And, I mean, we are seeing the first steps of players unionizing.
Yeah, I would say that they are. I mean, it's not official. There's no paperwork. There's no, there's nothing done in terms of legal recognition. They don't have an official group yet or anything. But I would be comfortable saying, yeah, they're organized. I mean, they're definitely organized. No question about that. This is a union. They are unionized or at least unified. And I don't think that's an incorrect statement. And as soon as they do so, as soon as they get to that point, immediately the big leadership in college football goes, we're good. We're good. We're going to go we're going to go ahead and hold off. It makes no sense. It's embarrassing, if we're going to be honest. It's flat out embarrassing. So as we are watching this story develop, I want you to analyze this. I want you to think, what is it that's got college football's authorities now deciding to pull the plug? You know what it is. You know what it is. We have found it. We are where we are. The players have said, we want centralized, unified, universal protocols and preparations to get ready for college ball, or we're out. And the college football leadership went, maybe that's too far. Because at the end of the day, the only thing they're thinking about is the money in this situation and maintaining a level of power that, frankly, most of us don't really think that they even have at this point, right? And they're so dedicated to that cause. They're so in love with that idea. The idea of the power that they think that they have when us as fans, we know they don't. They're so in love with that idea that they're willing to throw the season under the bus in order to protect it down the road. And it makes no sense to me at all. Quick break. We come right back. Dave Schultz of WNSP Mobile will join us. We'll talk to him about the feelings from SEC country. That's coming up next. After that, the one thing that's being said on social media that I am going to tell you right now, I am angry. I don't get angry often. I'm not an angry guy. I don't like conflict. I prefer to be happy. My hair's going gray fast enough. I don't need any help. But there is a trend going around in this conversation on Twitter right now that has me furious. And I'll tell you what it is after this. But first, Dave Schultz from WNSP joins us in the next segment. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, all around the world by going to radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen. And, of course, use the Radio Rewind feature to listen to live local programming up to 24 hours after it's broadcasted, including the conversation we are about to have with my friend, Mr. Dave Schultz from WNSP Radio down there in the heart of SEC country. Dave, welcome back, brother. Great to have you, man. I wish it was under better, more entertaining circumstances, but, you know, 2020, what you going to do?
Well, I thought we were talking about Colin Morikawa. No, we're talking about something else. We're not talking PGA Championship. No?
Well, obviously. Obviously, I brought you here to talk about the Dustin Johnson meltdown and the money that he cost me over the weekend. That is, of course, Dave, top-tier sports story of the day.
Yes, I understand that. Although, I do like the whole spiciness of that, right? Brooks calling him out and Rory going after Brooks and Brooks going back after Rory. You don't ever see that, right? There's like a little Michigan-Ohio State action going on there. Auburn, Alabama, you usually don't get that involved. It's a little fun.
You know, We all do, of course, Dave, we all do watch golf for the drama and the combat behind it. So I'm just glad that a couple of these guys have decided to spice it up a little bit. Dave Schultz from WNSP here to talk a little college football. And let's just kind of open it up broadly to start. After the news we got yesterday, SI and ESPN both reported that authorities from the P5 decided to get together to talk about the potential of him postponing college football 2020. I don't know why we keep using that word instead of calling a spade and recognizing they just mean straight up canceling it. But just your reaction last night when you were reading this news start to flow across the Twitter timeline.
Well, yeah, let's back it up even. So I got up early on Saturday and is going to go head over to South Alabama to cover practice when they were finished. And somehow in between when I got in my car, when 15 minutes later to when I got over to South, the SID's telling me, "Did you see the Mac just is going to shut it down?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And then by the time I got in my car, some half an hour, 45 minutes later, all of a sudden we're hearing the Power 5 is going to shut down later this week. I mean, things spun out of control fast, and it's really been, I don't know about you, but it's really been a pit in my stomach for about, where are we? We're in August, so May, June, July, 3 months, right? We kind of, unfortunately, I certainly don't want to do this a lot, but it's going to happen. You know, we kind of told you so, and it kind of started with the spring breakers, right? We could see what was happening. We're all quarantining, and down here in Florida, now come on down, we'll have a good time. Well, if you don't want college football, you keep on spring breaking, and that's where we ended up, where we are now. I mean, obviously the whole thing's not their fault, but just the whole general policy of, yeah, we're just going to keep on living our lives, and so be it. And now the people who are complaining about college football shutting down are the same people who, you know, didn't want to, you know, wear masks or, you know, stay at home.
Yeah, you know, I said on the show back in, late May, early June, I said you have two options. Go out and live your life and enjoy everything and recognize we won't have football, or make a month and a half worth of sacrifice, and maybe we'll get the chance to play. And now we get to reap what we sow, unfortunately. As far as the SEC, one of the things that I found interesting is that when this news broke, I went on our Facebook Live yesterday, and one of the comments that I saw a few different times was people saying, well, the SEC is not on board with this. The SEC isn't going to get down with this. The SEC was the ones that were pushing forward ahead of everybody else with announcing they were good to go, etc. I have not heard in the past handful of hours that there is any news out of the SEC saying that they want to continue the path as is. I also haven't heard they have otherwise, other than just being indirectly involved in these talks, made any negative decisions either. Do you have any news from down there in SEC country about what we can expect?
Well, we don't right now. Right now, it seems like the SEC and the ACC are pushing back. But in between you posting that I was coming on the show and this phone call, the Big Ten basically canceled, right? We got a couple of different reports of that happening. So this is spinning out of control. I'm about to do a high school football show here at noon our time. And it's very odd, Rob, the Mobile County – we got two counties basically down here, among others, but Mobile County and Baltimore County. Mobile County is doing school virtually, which I believe starts this week. It's already started. But basically the high school football teams are in their own little bubble. They're not interacting, at least during the day, with their classmates. They go to practice after they're done with school, but they're in their own little bubble. It's amazing. They're not going back to classes until at least November. We may get in more high school football here in South Alabama than college football gets in around the country. It's absolutely nuts. I'm sure we'll hear something what the SEC is going to do here in the next day or two, because it just seems we may get it by the end of your show, because it seems to be spiraling out of control.
Yeah, Dave and I were tweeting back and forth before the interview today, and we set everything up, I guess, in about an hour and a half, and Dave's there was a talk of let's not say anything because something terrible might break between now and the time that Dave comes on air. We made it 4.5 minutes, I think, Dave, before the Big Ten rumors broke.
Yeah.
Now, again, nothing officially confirmed yet, but there are a number of relatively trustworthy sources saying the Big Ten has already come to their decision, which would make sense because the other aspect, Dave, is that meeting was to get all of the P5 conferences on the same timeline, right? Nobody wants to be the first nor the last to announce that they're postponing football. So it would make sense if the Big Ten has made a decision that they haven't made it official if they are trying to get all the conferences on the same page, which seems to be the game plan.
Well, that's exactly right. So something to go by, I just lose track of time. It was either last week or the week before, I was talking to somebody who was talking to a Mac AD, and the Mac AD said, yeah, we're probably shutting it down, but we don't want to be the first, right? Would you want to be the first? We don't want to be the first. Then all of a sudden they, made that decision, and so they were the first, and I mean, we're still not 48 hours since that, I guess we're just over 48 hours since that decision came down, and unofficially the Big Ten has shut it down. I know the SEC isn't supposed to start playing until September 26th. Practice doesn't even start until like a week from today, something along those lines. We're going through like a 6-week, 25 practices and like 40-day type stretch. So they were trying to push it back as long as possible. They may try to keep on going. We'll see if there's any kind of outbreak. I haven't heard about anything recently other than what happened at LSU, Kansas State, Rutgers, Louisville. But a lot of that was done, because they were doing stuff that they shouldn't have been doing interacting with students that were going out. So we'll see what happens moving forward, but it certainly does not look good with what's happening. And again, it just seems to be going faster and faster and faster.
Dave Schultz from WNSP Radio down in Mobile, Alabama, right in the heart of SEC country, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show to talk a little college football. Before we cut you loose, Dave, because I know you got a show coming up here in just a couple of minutes, closing thoughts. What do you want people to know? What do you want people to be looking out for? Just any thoughts you have over the last 48 hours of news and what you think we might see out of the next 48 hours.
Oh, brother. Again, this is not something that – this doesn't catch anybody by surprise, really, does it? I mean, that's the thing. We all – like I said, told you, Rob, I had a pit in my stomach for the last 3 months that we saw this coming. Let's see if the NFL can hang on. And the NBA and the NLS of all teams are proving that you can do it, right? That we can get these bubbles going and it can survive, right? They have over 300 players in the bubble and no one's tested positive over the last couple weeks. And they're playing contact sports. And it doesn't seem like baseball can handle it on their own, right? One pitcher got sent home because he went out. I mean, you know, if you want to play, play. If you don't, go do something else. But you're jeopardizing everybody else. So all the play, and then you got the whole Trevor Lawrence, you know, organization union thing. So, I mean, there's a ton to talk about. Certainly we're not lacking things to talk about on a sports talk show. But it is all very disappointing and sort of heading in the wrong direction. So I'm going to continue to preview high school football and NFL while we still got it.
Love it. Dave Schultz from WNSP Radio down in Mobile, Alabama, as we continue to watch the hashtag We Want to Play movement growing. Dave, appreciate it, man. Wish we had more time. We'll get you back on very, very soon after the next round of terrible news breaks, whenever that is. Judging by our timeline now, I'd say in the next 6 to 8 minutes.
Right. Thanks, Rob. Make sure Mark Ryan appreciates you for carrying the entire station on your wide shoulders to the raging success that you guys are. Congratulations, Rob.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you, brother. That's David Schultz of WNSP. You can follow him on Twitter at DaveWNSP, a tremendous college football follow at DaveWNSP on Twitter. Let's take a real quick break. We come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. In hour number two, I'm going to tell you the thing that absolutely got my blood boiling last night. I don't get very angry very often. It happened. I'll tell you why when we start the next hour. My name is Rob Brown. Diesel's back at the Radio Ranch. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate closing out hour number one. Thanks to Dave Schultz of WNSP again. If you want more from Dave, you can follow him on Twitter at DaveWNSP Radio, at DaveWNSP, WNSP Radio out of Mobile, down in the heart of SEC country. And, you know, after that discussion, Diesel, after watching the discussion amongst the talking college football heads out there in the social media world, I am convinced of two things. Number one, we are not playing football this fall, at least not at the collegiate level. And number two, Diesel, 100% the reason why is because these players have laid out on the table an in-your-face illustration of just how bad the lack of leadership at the college football level is and how much it can be pointed out to fans that at the end of the day, nothing matters except the bottom dollar. That leads us to where we are, Diesel.
Yeah, we're in a very sad state of college football right now. The problem is we all saw this coming. We all saw it coming. And we kept asking for leadership. We kept shouting for leadership from Mark Emmert, from the NCAA offices. We just couldn't get it. Don't know why.
Yeah. Yep. Spot on. Spot on, exactly right. We've been calling for, listen, I've been asking for a centralized form of college football governance for years now, and this is why, right? And Diesel, you mentioned what Heather Dinich said, and I think you had a great point, which is Mark Emmert gets asked straight up, why don't we have more centralized leadership? And Emmert said, well, we can't have a college football czar. And Diesel asked one very, very important question. Why not? There's no reason why not. I would tell you when we come back, we'll discuss the why not, but there is no why not. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.